Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now. Everybody, I got a little something for you. Hold on one second. This is supposed to be a little bit better. Here we go.
Oh, this is making me nervous already.
Yeah, for as much as we can whine and bitch about all the things that have gone right or wrong this year, weeks 1 through 16 don't matter. Week 17 is here. Sunday night football. Seahawks Niners, Marshawn Lynch is back. Russell Wilson is coming off of what appears to be a rough stretch. The defense is struggling with numerous injuries. The offense is struggling with numerous injuries. We lost two running backs in one night against the Cardinals. Dwayne Brown just had knee cleanup surgery. I'm not sure how else to put this outside of this is going to be a game for the ages, win or loss. The Seahawks are desperate. They're decimated by injuries, and they're playing their biggest rival at home on Sunday Night Football for the NFC West title. It has been 3 years since the Seahawks have last won that title, so this is going to be an especially charged game. But I do think the Seahawks will win this game. I really do, and it's going to be crazy, just like the first time around earlier this year. I have built up hope. The Seahawks are going to win this game.
I could go on, but I'll leave it there. Folks, welcome to Real Hawk Talk 2026 edition. That was well back in the last week of 2019. And there's a little bit of difference between the way this crew looked then and now. How you guys doing? Nathan, first of all, great to have you back. Nathan Ernst at Nathan11. How's life?
Pretty good. Evan, what happened to your hair? It used to be so thick and beautiful and luscious.
Oh, it's still thick and beautiful. You, dude, we all had glow ups, I feel like. I sounded so childish. Oh my God. How would anybody?
I have terrible news for you, Evan. You still sound childish.
Okay, well, I sounded like a baby, though.
You did. I feel like the screaming over the years has aged your voice. Like your vocal cords have become calloused. It goes on, actually. Jeff, it's so funny, man. You're like, man, if Evan's feeling good, that's not a good sign. Jeff Simmons, at Real Jeff Simmons, you back in your home base in north of the border?
Yep. You see me in a sweatshirt again. My days in the America and in the sun are over, so it's back to reality. It's damn cold here, so. I've been a little down the last few days. I'm hoping you guys can pick me up a little.
We'll do our best, man. And you know, you had quite the backdrop in that time frame, and your Canadian internet was very different then. So you've definitely had the glow up technologically as well. But guys, welcome to the show. We've been doing this for so long, and that's really the last time I would say we had a game to talk about that felt meaningful like this. But even then, I mean, Evan talked about it in the clip. The Seahawks were down to zombie Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin. And like, it was ugly going. Like Evan and I spent that whole week harassing 49ers fans by saying, man, it sure would be embarrassing to lose a game like this to the Seahawks. Like, that would be humiliating. And they came close to doing it, guys. But now you got a full group of Seahawks. And Evan, Rashid Shaheed's going to play in this game.
Love it.
Charles Cross is not. It looks like Josh Jones will play, although he's questionable. Kobe Bryant will not. But otherwise, it's looking like the Seahawks are going to mostly have their crew available for this one. How are you feeling with that news?
The Rashid Shaheed news is massive. He's so underrated. There was just so much criticism, I think, about that trade in reaction. But he's been I don't want to like exaggerate when I say this, but if he's not a Seahawk, they don't win that Rams game. And if they don't win that Rams game, they're not competing on Saturday night for the number one seed in the NFC. I don't think that's an exaggeration at all. I think their special teams is so dangerous. People don't talk about our special teams enough and how game tilting it is. Every time, you know, Shaheed like touches the football, it feels dangerous at this point where he could take it home. And I haven't felt that way in a long time, guys. It's probably been since early Tyler Lockett days, pre-injury, where it felt every time, you know, we fielded a punt return or a kick return, like we were super dangerous. But, the Josh Jones, Charles Cross stuff kind of sucks, but that defensive line is not particularly scary on the other side of the football. So, mixed feelings. Super happy that Shaheed is playing, but I'd be curious if Jeff or Nathan have more positive or negative takes than me on that.
Nathan, any thoughts?
No, I think that pretty much hits it on the head.
Yeah, Jeff, on the other side, the 49ers injury report, they've got a bunch of guys listed as questionable, including Trent Williams. And so they right now have Upton Stout, Upton Stout, George Kittle, Ricky Pearsall, Keon White, and Trent Williams, all listed as questionable. Now, Trent Williams did not practice at all this week. Upton Stout has not yet cleared the concussion protocol, but he did practice fully today. Kittle and Pearsall were limited all week. Keon White was did not practice until today, and then he was limited. So Kyle Shanahan kind of said, hey, I'm treating this like a playoff game. And if Trent Williams gets the okay from the doctor and he says he can go, I'm going to play him. Everyone I talk to around the 49ers doesn't think he's going to play. What's your take on the 49ers situation?
I'm guessing there's a bit of gamesmanship going on there. And Kyle also, I saw the quote that you retweeted. He was referring to like, well, we don't want to shortchange next week, but if the doctor says he's going to play, and if he's already talking about shortchanging the week after, I get the sense he's pretty much doubtful to play. And the other guys, it sounds like Stout is in the final stages of concussion protocol. I don't know if we're going to have to keep our eyes on the report the next couple of days. And Keon White had not practiced, and he practiced today. So it seems like they're pretty healthy going into this game already. They are down Bosa and Warner, so that's a big deal. But if the Seahawks were hoping for extra luck, it seems like most of their guys are trending in the right direction. My gut is Trent Williams won't play, but I think Kittle and Pearsall are definitely going to play in this game.
What's the quick point of clarification here? What's the Pearsall injury? I haven't caught that.
Knee. It's the same injury he's been.
Oh, like, so never, it's the nagging thing all season.
Him. Okay. Yeah, it's never been fully recovered, and I think he re-injured it again against the Bears, missed a couple series, but did come back and play pretty well. So I'm expecting him to play, and you know, we'll see the little Tariq Woolen, Ricky Pearsall rematch. Nathan, I'm curious your philosophy on this. Like, obviously, you just want to get a win, period, but are you kind of hoping that the 49ers have everybody and so you can kind of see where the Seahawks team is heading into the playoffs? Or are you hoping it's as easy as possible and just get that number one seed?
Yeah, easy as possible. Get the number one seed. Get the bye. I don't think this team has anything to prove at this point. I don't think beating a fully healthy Niners team, that's not going to change my opinion a lot.
Why is that? Tell me why.
I mean, we've got 16 games. Like, they have a full body of work. They've, you know, they played the Rams tough both times. Like, they played the Niners tough the first time. So, like, yeah, it'd be great to see them beat the Niners, obviously, beyond just the playoff seeding implications of it all. Like, beating a good team is always good. But I don't feel like I need to see that. One game isn't going to make me feel differently about this team at this point. And it's not going to, like, my big question is about this offense and about Sam Darnold. And going out and killing the Niners would be great, but it's not going to suddenly make me like feel great about everything. And if they go out and they play the same game against the Niners that they've always played, then I mean, obviously that's going to keep the questions alive. But like, yeah, so I don't know. There's nothing that I need to see from this team at this point. I just want to get them in the playoffs and see if they can survive when they have this, you know, these crappy offensive moments and see what they can do and make some damage.
Can I share a take?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of tired of hearing about this game and how it relates to Sam Darnold disproving some narrative that he has to change in the media. I don't think Sam Darnold has to play a crazy good game for them to win on Saturday.
We've seen that be true multiple times, right?
But, yes. but like all of the media attention is, and you know, several, you know, like stuff from like Niners Nation and other blogs that I've been reading on the Niners is like, is Sam Darnold going to choke? That is the focus of the narrative going into this game. And I think one of the underrated parts that many people aren't talking about, like matchup wise, is Seattle's run game in the second half of this year. As much as we, you know, moan and complain about in the first half, they're starting to progress in the second half of this year. They're getting better. And you know who's getting worse in run defense and has been bottom five in run defense over the second half of this year? The Niners. The Niners have one of the worst run-stopping defenses in football. And it makes me wonder, can Seattle go into this game old-school Pete Carroll style and just pound the rock, limit, you know, potential turnovers from Sam, don't make these big potential errors, don't force it when it's not there, and is that enough to win the football game? I'm becoming more and more convinced it is. So that was a little bit of a tangent on my side, but I just feel like some of the focus narrative-wise around this game going into it on Saturday has been in the wrong places. Like Seattle's the better football team here, guys, by, I think, a pretty healthy margin,
especially when you
consider their injuries.
It's an interesting point because Seattle has the better roster and they're far more complete, especially on defense. But San Francisco has, I think, the far better quarterback and the far better play caller. And so how much does a full roster matter versus when usually things are equal, the better quarterback seems to win. But I do agree, Seattle is a better overall team. I think San Francisco is just buoyed by how well Purdy's playing. And I think Kyle Shanahan's done an awesome job. And Robert Saleh kicked Clint Kubiak's ass last time we played, and it made a huge difference in the game. But I think they have a pretty, potentially a big coaching advantage when those two go head to head. But I think if you look at the full rosters, I think where that 2019 comparison does come back, I think it's one team dominated by a quarterback versus a much more complete team. And funny enough, I like put on the highlights of that game because I see all these Niners fans like talking about this game and lore. The Seahawks' last drive of the game when they're coming back to win, they threw to Travis Homer, David Moore, John Ursua, and who was it? Jacob Hollister.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, those guys won't even play on this team. And so that was a – like, obviously, the Niners are a little better than – but, man, Russ was carrying that squad.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities, I think, between the teams. But just before we get into that, I would just say it's interesting when you say better play caller. Yeah, but the play caller is offense versus defense. And as much as Robert Saleh frustrated Clint Kubiak, Mike McDonald like had Kyle Shanahan screaming into his like play sheet.
I meant better offensive play caller.
Yeah, no, I knew that, but I'm saying like, it's not the offensive player caller versus the offensive play caller.
True.
Right. It's offensive play caller versus defensive play caller. And I'm not convinced that Kyle Shanahan has an advantage over Mike McDonald. Test me out. Feel free to say differently if you feel otherwise.
I mean, they could take like as well as Brock Purdy has played over the last 6 weeks since he's been healthy. Like, they contained him in week one, guys. Like, what they put up, 17 points, 2 picks. And by the way, Iman Wari played 4 snaps that game.
Right. Echenne Nwosu didn't play. And the 17 points, 7 of those came on a third down scramble. Like, it was a great play by Purdy and Tonjes, but like, it wasn't like they just marched down the field, you know, and it was easy. It took all that for them to get to 17 points. So like, I don't know, Nathan, like you look back at that game and I think that there's a lot of ways to skin this. Do you feel like that it's going to be easier for the Seahawks to do better than the 13 points and offensive performance that they put up in that game, that Clint Kubiak only called one play action pass, like a lot of these quick screens that didn't look anything like anything else we've seen? I think it's more likely that the Seahawks offense will be better than what they were that week, or that Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan will be better than they were that week.
I think I would bet on Shanahan and the Niners offense being better, not because I think we'll see a repeat performance like you're saying. What we saw out of that week one offense didn't look anything like what we've seen since, but it doesn't, like we've seen it still fall on its face from time to time. Mm-hmm. So I mean maybe Kubiak will go back to the well and be like, oh yeah, that was the right idea, and we just didn't execute or something. I mean, who knows? I doubt it. But, you know, even if they get back to their normal stuff, we've seen that at times that hasn't always been super effective. So I guess, like, and that's not to say that I think that we'll see them score like 10 or 13 points again. But if I had to guess which one's more likely, it's that Shanahan gets that offense going a little bit more.
Jeff, where are you at on that question?
I think Seattle will be better offensively. Well, big reason, Bosa and Warner aren't in the game. And Fred Warner was incredible, maybe the best player in the first game.
He was insane.
He was insane.
Really
he destroyed, he destroyed their run game.
Yeah.
And Bosa, if Bosa doesn't blow up Abe Lucas on that last play, the Seahawks probably scored 20 points in that game. And then we're looking at it, but they were a heavy shotgun, quick game. They didn't do play action. And look, I don't have a ton of confidence in this offense. Even Kubiak today seemed a little feisty. I only saw the quotes on paper, and they sounded like he was a little feisty about turnovers. But I feel like he's got a lot to prove in this game. And so if it made me a little nervous seeing him so feisty about turnovers thing, is he going to kind of just do the let Russ cook thing in the second half and just hold the offense back? Because I think for the Seahawks to win without Bosa and without that pass rush, I think they got to attack them. And I think they got to take shots. And reading Kubiak today made me think that's not going to be the case.
What did he say in the press conference? I missed it.
I don't have the exact quotes in front of me, but it was like, we can't turn the ball over. We're giving away possessions. Turnovers are unacceptable. We're too slow. Are you talking about
Kubiak? Yeah.
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 He seemed feisty today about turnovers, and that made me nervous going into this game.
Interesting. Well, you know, one thing I'll point out is we're talking about how the passing game has kind of taken a step back, right? Since the Rams game, like that's not a secret. I'd say it was like significantly worse in the first game against the 49ers, right? Like I think that was easily the worst game, the passing offense game of the season. It was awful. Like they barely passed the ball, and every pass was like these stupid screen passes where they would lose yardage. And like, it was like the most scared game plan we've seen all year. So like as bad as it's been lately, it wasn't that bad. It hasn't been that bad. And the run game, like if you just take this like bit by bit, like quarterback, receiver, tight end, offensive line, pass game, run game for the Seahawks, of those things, which do you feel like are worse now than they were then? Any? Like, I don't know that. What's that? I thought you said something, Jeff.
No,
but
no.
Like, if I go to the 49ers offense, how do you feel about their receiving crew now versus then? I think this one's better a little bit. Pearsall's injured though, but like they had MVS playing in that first game. You know, I think DeMarcus Robinson's a step up from that. Like they'll have George Kittle. He was injured for part of that game. Mm-hmm. We don't know how healthy he's going to be, but that's obviously a big one. I'm just trying to think like atomically for each team, where are they realistically ahead of where they were or behind? And I'm just not sure I see a lot of cases of why the 49ers like Brock Purdy was really good that day. He threw two picks, but he was under pressure all the time. And he just kept finding ways around it. He only got sacked once.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's gonna be better this week.
But that could, that may turn, like they may get more production out of that same performance.
Yeah. Say more.
Well, if you don't throw the picks, like you take some of that stuff out, or if he plays really well again and the pressure's not quite the same, or they're just able to scheme some stuff up better, like you know, there's you can play poorly and still manage to squeak out some production, and you can play well and still struggle. So like there's still variable from that perspective.
What about the Trent Williams deal? Like if he's not there, that feels like a pretty huge difference. And if he is there, but he's playing with an injury, that also still feels like a pretty big difference. And he also struggled in that game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how big do you feel like that is, Evan?
Well, it seems like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on the record here, Brian, but Grant indicated in the show earlier today that he's actually had like a fairly decent year. Trent Williams has had, mm-hmm. right? Like I think after game one, I had kind of, I think many of us, including myself, felt like his trajectory was maybe more negative than it actually ended up being. But I mean, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for this. I think what I struggle with this Seattle defense is like this pass rush has kind of been non-existent for several weeks now. Yeah. And if they're going to win this football game, they have to get pressure on Purdy. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know what the right answer here is. Like my brain's going big brain energy of like, is an injured Trent Williams actually worse than like a fully healthy backup? And it might be.
I don't know.
So yeah. That's kind of like where my headspace is conflicted, but I'll tell you this. I don't have confidence in our pass rush right now.
I think that's an important call out because I think it's probably the least discussed challenge over the last four games or so is just the pass rush. You haven't really felt it. Like Leonard Williams and Byron Murphy have been stuck on 7 sacks for a while. And Chenna Nwosu has not had another sack for a while. And so, yeah, like, I don't know. Like some of it, I think teams are throwing quickly, but it also just feels like it hasn't been there. Like what were you saying, Nathan?
What have the pressure rates been? Sacks are one thing, but what is kind of the week-to-week pressure rates been?
I'll pull it up for you and let you know, but it's been down.
Who sources pressure rates? Is that PFF?
There's a bunch of places that do. I'm looking at NFL's pressure rates, like the actual next-gen stats version.
Is there methodology like consistent across those different trackers?
No, it's not. That's why, you know, I end up going with the official NFL stats in that way. But okay, so pressure rates. Wait a second. Oh, yeah, there we go. So again, the first game against the 49ers, 61% pressure rate, which was like the highest pressure rate in Brock Purdy's career.
Jesus.
It was crazy. He was only sacked once. But the last four games have all been under 40%, like 33%, 33%, 39%, 32%. They had been like 44, 42, 43, 50, 50, that kind of thing. But as much as 33 sounds like not great.
That's like one out of every three passes. That's not terrible, right? What is that rank?
Terrible. But to give you like the 49ers are like 21%, 27%, 26%, like talk about struggling to get pressure. Like this is the worst pressure team in the NFL.
So I could start a left tackle on Saturday and be fine.
I don't know, man. If Amari Kite has to, I'm not convinced Josh Jones, if he plays, I'm not convinced Josh Jones is going to be really 100%. And so it's the same kind of, like Trent Williams at 80% is a lot more interesting than Josh Jones at 80%.
Wait. I thought Josh Jones had just like a minor bang up like from the game. Like I thought he was. Did I misconstrue? Is the vibes are bad?
I don't want to say anything I'm not supposed to say. I'll just say, like, I'm not convinced that he's going to be, like, fully ready for this game. Like, he might play, but, you know, like.
So who's left tackle number three? Who's
the Kite.
Okay, hold up. What does Amari Kite look like? How do you even spell his name? I need to look up the vibes. Hold up.
Oh, hold up. I don't know how this is going to go.
Hold up.
Oh, no.
Okay. I mean, I like his hair. Yeah, I mean, he scares me, which is a good thing. Like, he's got scary vibes.
He's very soft-spoken.
Oh, geez. How long has he been in the NFL for?
So is Charles. He's an undrafted free agent rookie.
This year?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Guys, come on. How are we not more concerned about this?
This is why I'm bringing it up.
Not to demonetize us, but this is kind of problematic.
Behind him, I think it's Logan Brown.
Okay.
What did Jason Peters do these days? Is he
stop it.
If Philip Rivers can play, can Walter Jones play?
Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, let's really memorialize the 2019 game. Bring out another
Dwayne Brown.
Dwayne Brown.
Bring his ass back.
I think you were here for that game too.
Yeah, he was. Well, so I mean, of all that stuff, I mean, where do you guys think this game is going to get decided? Like, what are the things that we were talking about, all these injuries and better, worse, this, that, like, where's this game going to be figured out? What part of it? Jeff?
I think it's McDonald against Purdy. I think the 49ers only have one way they can win. Mm-hmm. I think the 49ers, with their defensive issues and their injuries, even if Seattle has to score like 23 points, I think they could do it against those guys. But if the way the Niners have been winning, and a lot of it's been against bad teams, but against the Bears, they just move the ball up and down the field. Against the Colts, Philip Rivers scored 27 points against them with a noodle arm and just picking apart their defense. They only have one way to win. And look, Brock Purdy's been the best quarterback in the NFL over the last 4 to 6 weeks. And so if McDonald can slow him down, I think it just gives the Seahawks a huge margin for error. I think if Seattle scores a lot, I still don't know. I think the game still comes down to, can you hold Purdy to a respectable number? Because
what's a respectable number? How many points are we talking about?
23?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You guys, Nathan, Evan, you have a different number? Evan, I see you nodding your head. Nathan, what do you think the Seahawks defense has to do to be, like, enough?
Yeah, 23 sounds about right.
I think if you hold them to 26 or less, you probably win the game.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know how good I feel about Seattle scoring 27.
Dude, that defense is bad. That Niners defense is really – it's bottom five. Let me put it this way. Let me put it this way, though. If Seattle shows up on Saturday, I don't want this to happen. I'm not prophesying it to happen. But I'm just saying if it happens, if Seattle shows up, that offense does not show up for a full first half, as we've seen – sort of pattern-wise over the second half of this football season, if they show up and they can't score more than 26 points on this Niners defense, we have a problem entering the playoffs. We have a big problem.
I mean, I don't know. I know where you're going with that, but I mean, dude, I want to go.
All their guys are out. Like, Fred Warner's not playing. Nick Bosa's not playing. Bryce Huff hasn't had a sack since 1995. Like this is a bad defense. Like, yeah. They're rolling out like they're four stringers right now. Like, we should be able to put up some numbers.
I 100% agree. And I've talked about the fact that against defenses this bad, the Seahawks have averaged even recently like 35 points a game. Like,
yeah,
this is the 27th ranked DVOA defense. So it's like, it's really bad. But I don't want to let Nathan off the hook here. I think Nathan's being a little cautious to not be too negative. And I want to hear it, man. Like, where, like, you seem like you're pretty low on the offense. So, like, how bad do you think things are?
I believe in this offense's ability to do anything. At any moment, anything could happen.
And he's not wrong.
That's well said.
There's a whole array of beautiful things that includes. Uh-huh. And then there's a whole array of yelling Sam really loud at your TV that includes. Like, at any moment, if you tell me this next play, it's Sam's going to fumble it and the defense is going to pick it up, but then they're going to fumble. Like, we literally just saw that. Like, anything could happen with this offense. And so yeah. I'm not down on them. I just don't I can't depend on them. Right. And that's the great thing about this team is you don't have to. Like, we've seen that Darnold can be great. And if he can, if he puts together that kind of performance in a game, they're going to win and they should win going away. They lost the Tampa game, but we won't talk about that. But, you know, he can also throw four picks and nearly beat the second best team in the NFL. So, like, I believe in their ability to do anything. It can be amazing and they can lose. It can be terrible and they can win, and it can be anything in between. And I just don't know what to expect from them.
Yeah.
I feel like that assessment is justified. Like, I don't even think that's negative.
No.
It's just reality.
That's very accurate.
Yeah, it's reality.
That's what I wanted to ask. Like, I don't think that's negative. I just think that's a good summary of the season.
Yeah. So anyone hasn't been yelling at Darnold on their TV, they're just lying to themselves.
They're inconsistent. You just don't know what's going to happen.
But there's some levels of inconsistent, and there's this, which, well, like Nathan said, like, I've never really seen before, where they're literally capable of anything.
They are.
Did you see Brian Baldinger's latest clip about the Seahawks?
No, hit me. What is it, negative? Speaking of negativity,
R.I.P. Josh.
Or is it positive?
It was Anthony Bradford hype. He was showing Anthony Bradford destroying Derek Brown over and over again.
Wait, can we play this on the pod, or is this?
I don't think I can. Copyrighted. I think it'll get a
copy. He was hyping up Anthony Bradford.
Yeah. I think I sent you the clip. You can watch it later. This is the second time. He's a little bit of an Anthony Bradford truther. So
did you pay him to do this? Side deals on the back room.
I get a lot of pleasure, you know? I get a lot of pleasure out of it, though.
I know you get pleasure out of it.
I love
a lot of pressure.
People are having, like, the Anthony Bradford narrative, like the story arc has been, it's been a good little story arc this season.
Are you guys like secretly related or something? Like,
no, we're not. But I gotta ask you guys a different question, totally different. We spent all this time anxious about these games, right? Like, about all the things that can go wrong. And we see all the flaws. Like, that's part of our brand. It's like, we see all the things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
But suspend disbelief for a second and tell me the script. Like, tell me the story of, like, what would be the best possible outcome for this game. I'm not talking about blowing them out, like, just because obviously that'd be great. But what goes well? Like, what does the game look like if it's the perfect outcome? What are the part components of that kind of game for the Seahawks? I don't think anyone's talking about what if something really good happens on Saturday. And I'm just kind of curious, what would that look like for you guys? Jeff, do you have an idea? Or Nathan, you were about to go. Go ahead.
I think it's McDonald winning the battle against Shanahan and keeping Purdy, like, yeah, like approaching that 60% pressure rate, right? You know, and again, like, who knows what exactly comes of that. Maybe they still end up, you know, scoring more points or whatever than last time around. But putting that kind of pressure on Purdy and, you know, I don't know, like, there's been times this year where McDonald's just looked like an absolute wizard and everything he touches and calls is perfect. And then the offense just looking dependable and consistent, and that might mean 24 points or 23 points. It doesn't have to be 42 points or something stupid, but where they just go out there and they look like a professional offense and they go about business, and JSN is, you know, tearing them up, and the run game is doing what it needs to do, and Sam doesn't make any stupid mistakes, and, you know, so you just have a nice, consistent, dependable offense, and you have a smothering defense. And I think that is, like, the thing that scares me the most about this team in the playoffs is their ability to just play a clean game, particularly on offense, throughout. So if we see the defense show up and look like what it's supposed to be, and the offense comes in and they're like, yep, we're the perfect complementary offense to that, I think that's the ideal thing to see from this team in this game and any game.
What about you, Jeff?
I think the ideal game script would be a lot like when Baltimore beat San Francisco on Christmas a couple of years ago, where they just looked unstoppable on offense. And this is kind of where Mike McDonald just like put the cherry on top of his resume, but they just made Brock Purdy turn the ball over in the red zone. They made them look foolish. Even though they were moving the ball between the 20s pretty well, it was just the way they forced them into interceptions where he kind of just said, like, we have the most badass unit in the league, and they looked like it. And we've seen the Seahawks do that to lesser teams this year. Like what they did to Carolina was so impressive last week, but the Seahawks offense was so frustrating. It almost got overshadowed. Like they tore apart. But in the last Rams game, McVay had their number. They were Puka Nacua still running free from that game. Yeah. So, and in the first Rams game, they did that and Darnold was so bad, they lost the game. So I think the combination of them doing what we've seen McDonald do to Brock Purdy before, and I know that triggers a lot of Niners fans because it was a different defense, but I think that would be very meaningful going into the playoffs because they haven't done that to a great team and won this year against a lot of the best teams they've won. And it's been some of like the offense was the best part against Houston, and then the defensive line took over against Jacksonville, which looks a lot more impressive now. But I think to go up against the hottest quarterback in the league and just kind of take them apart and make them turn the ball over and look kind of foolish, I think that would encourage any Seahawks fan going into the playoffs. So that just gives the offense a huge margin for error, even with all the goofy Darnold stuff.
Yeah, I will tell you guys quickly, Evan, I want to get yours in a second, but the story I'm telling myself about that Rams game, by the way, is that it was communication problems and that there's busted coverages. And,
well, there were,
yeah, and that might be like a bad thing. Like I might be fooling myself, but it was so out of the, it was such an outlier from the rest of the season. The Tampa Bay game was very different for personnel reasons. This was different for like busted coverages reasons. But anyway, Evan, anything you'd say that would be your perfect script for this game?
No, I wasn't going to add much. I was going to triple down on this. I think it's going for the throat of the only reason the Niners have hope in this football game is because they have a quarterback who's playing like one of the best players in football right now. If you rough him up, shake him up, get him off his counter, pressure him into bad throws. I want Eman Wari to knock him around a little bit. I want him to get roughed up legally. And like, nothing would kill their hope more, the Niners, if they go into the playoffs and their offense just gets neutered on Saturday. Just balls, knife. like that's what I want Mike McDonald to do to the defense, figuratively, metaphorically. Not why did I just say that? Why did I just say that?
I don't know, man.
That's where my head is at, though, is like I want it to be suffocating and I want Brock Purdy to get knocked around. So
I get that. I think for me it's I love it. You know, the difference between now and 2019 when we were doing this is like there's actually people watching. So those will be cool to remember you for that. But for me, it's JSN, and it's explosive. It's an explosive passing game. Like getting that back would be ideal. And there's a tough team to do it against. They're actually really as bad as they are to everything else. They're good at limiting explosives. But what we haven't seen yet is the offense when they have the explosive passing going and the run game going. If you have both of those things going, and I don't think it's crazy that both of those things happen in this game, that would be highly, highly encouraging. Even if there's turnovers, like if you had those two things and you had turnover, I'd still be encouraged.
You know, that little dance that Brock Purdy was doing with the Bears. What if Sam Darnold just came out like cocky and arrogant and just making like big time throws and started doing like little dancing bullshit. Like I would love to, I'm envisioning all the ways we could wreak havoc on these people's lives. Like I want another apology tweet from Jed York being sent out. Like this is almost more important to me than like a playoff game.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But it's close. No, this is This is big. We're going to be talking about this for a while.
That's an interesting angle, because there's a part of my brain that has, like, I can't get this idea out of my head. And I know Evan's answer, but okay, let's just play this out for a second. Obviously, every part of my being wants to win this game. Like, let's ignore that for a second. If the Seahawks are the one seed, you're almost assuredly playing the 49ers or Rams in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Packers beat the Bears or the Eagles. If you lose, and now that the Rams lost, this changes things. You're the five seed. Your path is probably the Panthers and then the Bears or the Eagles. If you win this game but lose your... like, those are the two teams that scare me the most. And I don't know how great I feel if they win this game and lose in the first playoff game. And then I'm wondering, like, that's... if they had, if this would have been the sixth seed and if they lost this, I'd be so terrified for this game.
Well, but I think
five seed path, it might be cleaner.
It might be, but that's no way to live. I mean,
screw the path. We're good enough. Okay, we're good enough. We're 13-3. We have the best defense in football, the best special teams unit in football. We're like number one in DVOA. Come over to the kiddie pool. We'll drown you. This is who we are. This is who we have to stop being scared, guys. Like, we have to stop being scared.
I'm with you on that, man. I'm with you on that. And you talk about the number one DVOA team. We'll see if that holds after this week. But I did a little sleuthing, and there's only been four times. I think there's been four times that there's been a team that finished with the number one overall DVOA team and the number one DVOA defense. And of those teams, let me just pull up, make sure I got the right one here. I think three of the four, actually, there's been five. Four of the five have won the Super Bowl. So the only team that's been number one overall DVOA and number one defense DVOA and not won the Super Bowl, the 2023 Ravens.
Did you guys see that stat about every time a new Pope has been elected?
Yes. You can share it in case people don't.
Well, I don't remember the years that it happened, but like, I think every time a new Pope has been, I don't know what the right Catholic word is, appointed. Sure. The Seahawks have gone to the Super Bowl, right? So hopefully that happens a third time, because it happened in 2025.
I'll tell you this though, Jeff, if they win this game, they get number one seed. The most likely scenario is that the Rams beat the Cardinals. The Rams would be the five seed, 49ers would be the six seed, and you'd place the 49ers, if they win, at home. And you have just beaten them on the road. So I'm not like, I'd rather not face the Rams in the first playoff game, but you know, 49ers, like, yeah, bring it. Let's go.
Are you guys not like less scared of the Rams right now though?
I'm not really scared of any team right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter in terms of like, which teams do I respect the most? I still respect the Rams more than any other team in football.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another team that, like, in the NFC that you guys look at and you're like, ah, man, I wonder about them? No. Yeah, right? Like, it's
no, Rams are far and away number one for me if the team, I think, could push us.
And then the 49ers, we'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Like, their offense is playing as good as any unit in the league. But as Evans so eloquently put it, you know, their defense is trash. So, you know, the difference between the 49ers there and the Rams is the 49ers have a good special teams, and the Rams special teams is kind of trash. So
wait, so just to be clear on the playoff stuff, Jeff, you said if Seattle gets the one seed, the Seahawks would play the Rams or Niners contingent on the Packers.
The Packers would have to lose to the Bears or Eagles. Yeah.
I'm not convinced that happens though.
So that's the other thing. So if they're the one seed and the Bears win this weekend, I don't know why people would just assume the Bears are going to beat the Packers. It took a minor miracle with Malik Willis for them to
win.
It took the Brandon Bostic fumble. And
why are we future tripping on the playoffs when we got this game coming in 2 days?
Well, the implication is massive. I mean,
but like, we're one game away from the playoffs. It's not like
let's talk about this game though. I mean, like,
I already told you we're chopping somebody's balls off on Saturday.
We did hear that.
I mean, I can't really top that.
We did hear that. Well, we've got a bunch of questions. Let me get some patron questions in here for you guys. Patreon.com/HawkBlogger. So
can I ask one question before the Patreon questions happen?
Always.
If you could, somebody has a train in the background. If you had to pick, I'm trying to think about how to articulate this. If Seattle were to win decisively on Saturday night, what time's the game? Is it 6 p.m. Pacific time? 5 p.m.? Okay. If Seattle were to win decisively on Saturday night, what one player not named Sam Darnold needs to show up and show out on another level? Like who? Is it Leonard Williams? Can you say more?
We've seen it with a Jadeveon Clowney game. We've seen it with a Leonard Williams game before. Like, when he takes over a game, the Seahawks win. And I just don't know that I've seen that as much recently. And I think the 49ers pass, like, offensive line's pretty good. But this just feels like the kind of game where, like, those guys, the DeMarcus Lawrences, the Leonard Williams, the Ernest Jones, the, like, they are going to bring their absolute best. And I feel pretty good when they're that motivated. I don't know that anybody's going to stop them. So that's where I probably feel like Leonard Williams to me is a game wrecker when he's really at it.
Jeff, Nathan.
I'll go with Nicky Minwori. I think in this matchup and just heading into the playoffs, we talk about blue chip players. We talk about game wreckers. Leonard's a great answer. Like, when he takes over, we haven't seen him do what he did last year because he's been such a good teammate for the rest of the D-line. But I don't know if anyone on the team has a higher ceiling than Neiman Ward. And especially when you got to cover McCaffrey and you got to cover Kittle and you got to blow up that offense. And part of the reason I think they wanted this guy is Kyle Hamilton was a big part of what blew up this offense in the first place. And we've seen him play really well in some games, he has. But when he's going, he looks like me and Brian were in Atlanta together watching that game. And the stuff he did was just like insane. And he was by far the best athlete on the field that had Bijan Robinson. And he is just a freak athlete. And I think a defensive lineman taking over the game is obviously more valuable, maybe for anyone against this matchup. But I think if Eamon Mori comes and dominates the game, like, that would get a lot of people super hyped going into the playoffs.
Nathan, what's your take?
I think I agree with the Leonard Williams take. I just love Leonard Williams, so I'll agree with Brian on that one.
Yeah. Evan, did you answer your own question?
I think it's Eamon Ward for me.
Interesting. All on defense for a crew that's so worried about offense because you said not Sam Darnold.
I just you ruin Brock Purdy's day and they win this football game.
Right. It doesn't feel that straight. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, but it feels like if you hold down that offense.
Yeah.
The 49ers are going to have a hard time winning.
I have a take that.
Really?
The Niners are not Super Bowl contenders. They're not. Like they have a quarterback who's playing hot at the right moment right now, but I have a really hard time believing you can win a Super Bowl with a bottom five defense. And four of your five top all pros are injured. Two of them are completely out for maybe Fred Warner might come back in the NFC championship game, but it feels like he's rushing it. We've got Trent Williams injured. Nick Bosa's out. Fred Warner's, you know, out. You've got George Kittle with a lingering injury. You know, Brock Purdy's healthy, but like Ricky Pearsall's injured. He's not an all pro or anything like that. But like, it's just, what's they're just hot at the right moment right now, but I don't like depth wise, roster wise, like I don't see it. Like I don't see it.
That's a
hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take. I think people would say that about the Seahawks too. Outside of Seattle, they'd say, you know, a team with a turnover problem like this isn't a contender. And like,
I just think you're discounting like a lot of talent on this football team then.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get through some of these because we'll get to our picks here in a little bit. I'm going to skip some of those. Let's get down. Well, this one's kind of for me, so I'll just answer this real quick. It says from Tim Streetbow, how often has the number one DVOA team gone on to play in the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl? I don't know how often they've played in it, but they've won it 30% of the time. I double checked that today. So number one DVOA team, that's actually pretty high percentage, 30% of the time. All right. I think we've gotten this question before, but I'll ask it. I think this is a Nathan, I'll give this to you. This is from Silk. Says, suppose you could pull any one player from the LOB era to the Hawks to play Saturday, but the Niners get to pull one of their best back from that same era. Do you do that deal? And if so, who are you talking about?
I don't know if I'd do that deal.
Hmm.
Like, with everything that we just talked about with this Niners team and how they're kind of one-dimensional and they've got all these injuries and they're, it kind of feels like from a talent perspective that they're behind the eight ball. Like, I really want to say, yeah, I'd go grab Russ and I think that would be pretty fun. But I think that you're giving the Niners way more out of an advantage 100%. Be able to go back and grab somebody off that team than you would be the Seattle right now.
I don't know if I agree. Like when you said Russ, I was like, oh, they'd win the Super Bowl. No question. If they had Russell Wilson from that year on this team, like with him, like he didn't turn the ball over. Like they would roll. But I mean, it's an interesting question.
Are we talking about, are we talking about just for this game?
Just for this game.
So then they're not going to win the Super Bowl just because you're not going to get Russ off the.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. I do think that but don't you think that the Niners would get a bigger upgrade out of whoever they picked just from an overall talent acquisition? Like, addition?
I don't know. The turnovers are, I mean, literally the Seahawks would be like unbeatable if they didn't have the turnover problem.
Yeah. And you add a whole element with his legs to
his legs. Right.
With today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's hard to turn down.
Yeah.
Russ, I mean, and Shahid would be an awesome combo too.
Oh, and JSN. Oh. I mean, JSN would actually probably be.
I don't know how JSN. Yeah, I don't know how
JSN. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, JSN's been a good deep ball guy, but he, like, all the routes he runs, Russ doesn't necessarily throw those
over the middle.
That's a good point. That's a fun question. All right, Hayden Hawks fan. Let's give this to Jeff. Which coaching staff is more likely to win the second half chess match? And what specific in-game adjustment would signal that one side has clearly solved the other? I don't know if you can really answer the second part. You can try. But as far as in-game adjustments, who do you trust the most?
I think that's one thing McDonald has been really, really good at. Mm-hmm. I think even in games where they've given up like a couple scores early, like the first Rams game where they were just running the ball down their throat, I think we've seen that there aren't a lot of examples where he has not been able to adjust. Like the last Rams game, they still got them in overtime. But they stopped them five times in the fourth quarter. And if they let one of those pull through, they lose the game. And so we've seen them do it to good teams. We've seen them do it to bad teams. I have a lot of faith that if like the Niners were getting them early, I think McDonald would be the one that make that adjustment.
Can I just articulate this on a very simplistic level from like a fan viewing perspective? I'm at the point in my confidence level in Mike McDonald's second half adjustments that I know whatever's pissing me off in the first half is not going to be pissing me off in the second half. Mm. That simple.
That's pretty fair. And it's kind of cool. There's something that just came to my mind and I totally spaced on it. So I'll just let it go, it's something Kyle. Related to that. Yeah. Go ahead. What?
The thing about Kyle, that's always kind of mesmerized me is like, how are their guys just wide open all the time?
So annoying.
It's so annoying. Kubiak runs the same offense. And like, has anyone been wide open on like a crossing route all year?
Yes. Come on. You and I in the second half in Atlanta, we're talking about how many guys are wide open.
Yeah. But it just, when it's, you watch the team and like freaking DeMarcus Robinson and it's wide open and Kyle Juszczyk, it's like, it's so annoying. He's so good at that.
Mac Jones looks like a top 10 quarterback somehow. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's really good.
Lombardi convinced Jimmy G was a top 10 quarterback.
I'll just say this though. When I look at Kyle Shanahan these days, I don't see light in his eyes anymore. Do you guys notice that?
He does look dark.
Like this man, dark place. This man I don't know what deal with the devil he's engaged with.
He's been shit. He's blown a lot of Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's just it looks heavy, like dark depression wise. I mean this like sincerely too. Like I don't know.
He's been the best coach in the NFL this year, probably.
I'm not disputing that he's had success. I'm just saying, like, mentally, emotionally, I see weight in his eyes.
I think that's right. I think that's always the way with him, though. He's like a sour guy, like a dour guy. I mean, I think that's just how he's always been. But let's get through a couple more of these questions, and then we've got a bunch of super chats, and we'll get to our picks. So 12 Life, go Hawks. This goes to Evan. Which of Snyder's offseason acquisitions, draft pick, or free agent from last year will have the biggest impact on our impending playoff run?
From this past offseason, this is such an easy answer. DeMarcus Lawrence. I love him. Oh my God. Hold up. We got to look up those deal real quick. I'm sorry for
Didn't
the typing.
Did you pick Eamon Worry to be the guy to have the big impact though in this game?
Yeah, but the question was free agency
or draft pick.
That's a good, okay. I'm still going with DeMarcus Lawrence. He's had a motor this year. 3-year deal, $11 million cap hit next year. Guys, oh my God. There's just been so many plays that I thought were dead, like defensively. And then DeMarcus Lawrence, like triple speed, somehow like chases down the quarterback and punches out the football. It feels like he's done that several times this year. I'm so in love with DeMarcus Lawrence. I'm going him. I don't know what to say.
I like it. Okay, this one's for everybody. This comes from Dwin PDX. What's the most unhinged 49er truther take anyone has come across so far this week?
Ooh. I have a lot of bookmarks.
Basically, any David Lombardi tweet?
Off the rails.
Is it? Okay, can we have a conversation?
Yeah, let's do it.
Is it a bit?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bit. I think it's I understand how to make money off of engagement, and I also am super arrogant.
I think they're giving him too much credit. I think he's just super arrogant. He says things like, I predicted everything right about Brock Purdy over the last 5 years. And the amount of times he just tells people he knows way more about football than them, I don't know if that's a bit. I think he believes this stuff.
I mean, Brian, do you start your Hawk Blogger mornings with like a video of the Hamptons in the background? Like no. He did that. He did that. It just, oh my God. I have nothing nice to say.
So you want to hear something kind of crazy?
Yeah.
Ooh. So he, like, first of all, it was really funny. Like he posted on Twitter, his YouTube metrics over the last 48 hours, you had over 500,000 views. And then Grant Cohn posted his views that were higher, which was really funny.
What were Grant's?
Okay, so let me pull them up so I actually get this right. I sent it to you guys so I could find it that way. Okay, this is amazing. So Lombardi sent it, and it was 530,000 views in the last 48 hours. Grant said his, it was 561,000 views.
Let's go, guys, Grant.
You want to know what our channel's been over the last 48 hours?
Your channel?
Our channel. 567,000 views.
Damn.
We have them beat. We have them
beat. Let's go. Let's go. We've already won. We've already won. It's Friday. It's Thursday. We've already won. Come on.
Oh, my God.
The faithful, not quite as faithful.
We're a smaller market compared to them.
I know. That's shocking. I'm shocked. I did not expect that.
Guys, kind of related note, have you seen how expensive it is to get into what the F do they call their
Levi's Stadium?
Levi's.
Yeah.
Guys, it's like $415 to get in to the freaking game.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'd be cheaper here.
Oh, it would not be. No. Oh, no, no shot. No shot. No. That Amazon money would double that. But like, I was actually thinking about going to the game, guys. I was thinking about it very briefly.
I think you should go to the game. And if money's the reason, man, like.
No, it's not. It's not money. It was more like personal safety.
Yeah.
it was like, what's the cost of hiring the Secret Service to protect me? Because
if I thought that you could behave yourself in a press box for this game, I would get you there. But there's no way. I'm going to Pearson. Like, you would absolutely get my credentials revoked.
I'm telling you, I can't behave myself in a press box.
Can you? Well, imagine, like, seriously, put yourself in the situation of being in the press box with Lombardi.
Oh.
With like this game in Levi's Stadium, and if the Seahawks win, like how to keep your composure? It. I mean, I hope I have that challenge. It was pretty damn fun last year when the Seahawks won that game with Geno.
I literally can't say anything because I will get you in trouble. So I'm just going to keep my mouth quiet right now.
Okay. All right. We are going to run through. We got 18 super chats. I got to get through these quickly and then we'll do our picks. So you guys hang on with me. We've got Jay Walker says, when the Hawks win, can we please get an Evan post game crab dance?
No. Let me just tell you this. If the Seahawks win this football game, great things will come. Great things will happen.
Yes.
Prepare yourself. Prepare your loins. Yes. Prepare yourself.
Jacoby says, I hope JSN tries to do the Sherm handshake to Lenore after catching the game winner. That would be sweet. That would be sweet. Tara Martell, is Kubiak hurting Sam Darnold's confidence by not letting him take more long shots downfield to JSN or Shahid? I'd rather see Sam be aggressive. What's your take on that, Nathan?
I don't think Kubiak is telling him not to.
So why are they not doing it all of a sudden?
Probably being what's available to them more than anything. But no offensive coordinator is going into a game and telling their quarterback to not take long shots down the field or like there's. So I don't think that that's what's really happening here at all. There may be a confidence issue, but it's not because the offensive coordinator is telling him don't throw touchdowns.
Hoyland DM, I don't know how to pronounce whatever I'm looking at there, but Seahawks playing man against Panthers, McDonald trying to throw teams off before the playoffs. Think he did this on purpose for 49ers Purdy. Jeff, you know what he's talking about here, that the Panthers mentioned that the Seahawks played more man than they expected?
I do. I don't know the answer to this question, I'll be honest, but my guess would be it was just purely matchup specific. I think the Panthers don't have a lot of people who can beat you one-on-one. Ted McMillan was just completely invisible. And I'm guessing they just figured we could man them up and they're not going to have anyone who can beat us. And if it's a creative way to trick the next team, then you're playing chess and I'm playing checkers. But my guess was that was just matchup specific stuff.
That is not the McDonald way. He is one game at a time. And I think he's absolutely means it. So I don't think he's planning ahead there. Corey Coleman's been a member for 17 months. What percentage Kittle do you think we are getting on Saturday? 85%, 90%? I mean, I don't know if anyone has any guesses. I think it's going to be at least 70%. And I think it's going to be whatever Kittle you're going to get is going to be a problem. Like he's good enough that I'm not going into it thinking we're getting some, you know, rental version of him. Hawks fan Matt Mann says, what would your overall assessment grade be for the Kubiak job that he's done this season? Yeah, let's get grades from everybody real quick.
I love this question.
So what are your grades? Jeff, you're an F, right?
I'm going to go a B because when you zoom out and see that they're like one of the highest scoring offenses in Seahawks history and in football, it's hard for me to go below a B on that. Yes, they have consistency issues. I don't feel like they're fully leaned into who they want to be identity-wise yet, but it's hard for me to look past like what happened in the first 10 weeks, I guess is what I'll say. So a B.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Oh, Nathan, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'd agree with that too. I was debating between a B or a B minus, and I think like the job that they've done with this offensive line, which has not changed a ton in personnel from last year. And this is not like Jason is amazing, but it's not the most talented or I don't know. Is this the top 15 receiver group? Is this top 10?
I think so. With Rashid.
Yeah, maybe. It's not exceedingly talented.
Top 15. I don't know, guys. Like that's JSN doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, and the, you know, like Barner's been good, but like So it's not an offense that's just like completely overpowered in terms of talent. And there's been weird bumps and there's been weird stuff. Some of it you can definitely put on Kubiak. Some of it's hard to know how to exactly split the blame. But so I can't go, I think, a lot higher than a B, but I think that's about right.
Jeff?
I'd go B minus. I think week like 2 to 9 or week 2 to 10 was an A. And I think really that the lack of adjustments since teams started playing against the, like, the heavy run stuff and taking away the deep shots, they really haven't had it. And I think the usage of Shahid's been a little questionable. And so I think the offensive line and Darnold do make it a challenge, but I don't think Kubiak's been particularly good over the last several weeks. I think there's moments where we see him scheme up some really cool stuff and scheme up some easy throws, but it seems like they're kind of trapped into not knowing who they are. And they've kind of overreacted to those Darnold turnovers, it seems like, a bit from that first game. When I think Brian said on his show today, when you actually watched that first Rams game, he actually looked pretty good. And so I think the last 5 to 7 weeks have been closer to a C to D from Kubiak. And so I think it averages out to about B minus.
Yeah, I think I'm probably a B plus. I think this team's 13-3. This first year with a new quarterback, new line, new scheme, new run game, new everything, and they broke the franchise record for points. Like, I'm just sorry. Like, that's not a bad job. Even if there's been some things that haven't been great, even in those games, like the Falcons game, slow start, amazing second half. The Panthers game, slow start, good enough in the second half. Rams game, like, actually a decent start. And then, like, they found a way. Like, it wasn't just Sam Darnold making plays. It was Clint Kubiak calling the reverse to Shahid and then calling that play to Barner and then the final drive. Like, yeah, I generally feel like it's a B plus for me, but I get all those takes from you guys. All right. XML Viking, AJ Barner's growth will make a difference. Agree with that. JZ says, control the clock, keep Purdy off the field to win. I think that's an interesting one. Still Dreamin's become a member. Welcome. Great to have you. We've got Aziz Rashid. I hope this game does not become a referendum on Sam. He had much better game versus the Rams than people think. Win or lose, let's stand by our QB. 13 wins. You're not in position without him. Good one there. Smokehawk, Evan, did you enjoy Darnold's tackle?
What is that referring to?
When he fumbled and then he forced a fumble after that against the Panthers. Do you remember?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You don't have to think that hard.
No, Nathan, I have a good way to articulate this. Nathan said it very well. Anything can happen at any time. And this is one of those moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Vegas Hawker. We didn't have even worry in the last Niners game. Smiley face. Yes, that is a true statement. The Almighty Dogda says, I want Seattle offense to throw a monkey wrench in Weiner's defense, get a Bobo touchdown and a Saubert touchdown. Two guys completely overlooked. Derek Gilbert, I've waited 2 weeks to deliver this message. Evan Hill, when we win and run the table, like you said, I need you to go nuclear, stunt on them. Thank you for your service. That is all. You heard the message, Evan. You know what's
expected. Message received. Orders followed.
Matt in Beaverton, member for 60 months, says, Brian, Evan, Jeff, Nathan, and the rest of the RHT crew, happy new year, and thank you for sharing your time with us. F the Niners, Seahawks roll 31-30. I don't know if that's rolling. Thank you.
Can I just say something real quick? I love that comment though, because it's hard. It's been hard for me to mentally process this week, but like, what an incredible position we are in. Like, rewind 4 months ago, 5 months ago, when we were doing our season predictions, if you could fast forward to this moment, tell us that we would be 13-3, have the best record in football. JSN is on the verge of 1,800 receiving yards. And this defense, you know, in 2 short years under Mike McDonald's leadership, is now the best defense in football. And we're going to San Francisco to play for the number one seed, a bye, the NFC West. And
most wins in Seahawks history.
And the most wins in Seahawks history. Excellent call out. Like, this is amazing. I'm struggling to process mentally that we are here right now. What a big fucking game. I'm so excited. And I think they're going to come through for us. I really do. So I just I wanted to take a moment to step back and just like appreciate this. This is special. This is really fucking special. Like 2 years ago, anybody had told us when we were doing the coaching search, remember the thorough ass coaching search that everybody was complaining about, including myself, about how long it was taking? Well, guess what? It was worth it. 14 wins. 13 wins, almost 14.
Yeah, well said. Snowcock says, the NFC playoffs are going to be like old home week with us playing the Rams and 49ers. It might be. Pastor Troy says, I don't remember Evan looking and sounding like a middle schooler in 2019. Just kidding. I've watched since the beginning. Go kick the Niners' butts. Super Sauce XL, prime time for Sam this week. Hoping for a big game. Richie Brash, member for 20 months. Fun time to be a Hawks fan. Happy New Year's, guys. Happy New Year's to you. Ready for a classic on Saturday. Will Fries, Brian, and anyone else with thoughts, would you rather see Josh Jones at 75% or Kite at full strength? It's no question to me. Josh Jones, if he can play, I want to see him out there. If anyone disagrees, let me know. You don't want an undrafted free agent playing his first snaps in this game, period. Sean McLodart, they swapped Horton's brain with Shahid's, 2 touchdowns. And then last couple here, Jordan, why have the Seahawks always been discounted by the national media? 2005, 13, 14, and now people love to hate on Seattle. You know, this is a long suffering fan base for that reason. All right, guys, we've gone over it. We're down to it. We got to go to our picks, and there's no wrong answers. There's just going to be video footage of whatever you say that will be used against you. So think carefully, and I'll give you one thing to think about as you go into this. I've said this on a couple shows and not everybody's heard it. I want people to hear this. The gap between number one DVOA run defense, which is Seattle, and number two DVOA run defense is the largest gap there has been since 1991. That's how much better the Seahawks run defense is. And by the way, the team that had that run defense, the 1991 Eagles, DVOA considers the best defense overall of all time. So imagine this game if the 49ers are not able to run the ball. I think that's a key part of this. We talk a lot about Brock Purdy. I think how that run defense, which by the way, did not perform that well in the first half against the Rams, if that run defense plays well, I think that's almost as valuable as the pass rush get going. So, Nathan, I'm going to give you honors. First person to give your prediction, tell us what the score is going to be and why that's going to be the score.
I am very scared of this game. I have a lot of Seattle emotional trauma that I am just like, it just feels like a game they're gonna choke away. And I think losing to the Niners team is choking away the game. But I'm gonna choose to believe, I think. And I think that they really have something special with this team right now. And I think they'll at least do the job on Saturday. And I think they're going to do it not like, I don't know, it's going to be a big blowout, but I think it's going to be convincing. And I think it'll be like 21-9. And they're just kind of, it'll be one of those where it's like, you know, they're not out of it, but also they haven't done anything all game long and I'm not scared of them one bit. So yeah, 21-9.
Jeff.
Yeah, I come from a very similar place as Nathan. You can tell I was already coping with this fifth seed stuff. And I have a lot of respect for Purdy and Shanahan and how they're playing. And when the offense is that good, it's really hard. But I think at the end of the day, the Seahawks are going to get the better half of what happened in week one, where they should have won the game. Sort of like what happened with the Rams matchup, where just the fate reversed. And I think these two teams are pretty close. But I think the Seahawks just, their talent level is deeper. And I think that's enough to win the game. So I'm going to say it's a very close game. I hope it's comfortable, but I just, right now, Purdy scares me. I'll be honest. I'm going to say 24-23 Seattle.
So unlike Jeff, I do not have a lot of respect for Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan and Saleh and all those guys. I think the Seahawks defense, I think Mike McDonald is going to put Brock Purdy in a chokehold for 60 minutes straight of game time. And I think their offense is going to struggle to move the football. I think Seattle ends with a big sack breakout. I think they get 5+ sacks on Purdy in this game. And I'm not particularly convinced Seattle's going to put up a lot of points, but I don't think they're going to give up a lot of points. So I'm going to pick Seahawks 26-6.
Whoa.
I'm telling you, the Seahawks are not getting swept by the Niners. It's not happening. It's not happening.
I'll say this, guys. Like, I think we've been trying to exercise that trauma and those demons for so long. It's not just like 6 years. It's been like 10. It's just like basically since the second LOB Super Bowl, right? 2014. Like, it's just been trauma. And they've come close. It seemed like it. And they just always fall short for one reason or another. And even this season, it felt like there was multiple times where hope kind of crested and then receded, right? Like, you just couldn't quite get all the way there. And here we are again, like one more time into this opportunity. And I'm absolutely affected by being exposed to these guys and exposed to this team. I'm absolutely affected by it. Being in the locker room today, seeing how happy and loose and like the way they were, knowing how much that first game meant to them and to not get it. I have a ton of respect for the 49ers offense and what they can do. Seahawks are the best team in this game. I just don't think it's a question. They are the best team in this game. And I think they get this done. Part of me wants to predict a going away win. I think that's really hard to do in this situation, in this location and with all this on the line. So I'm going to end up 30-24 Seahawks. I think it's going to be one of those things where you're just like potentially just like the last time in 2019, a team that has to like is driving down to maybe win the game and you have to have a defense stand up. And I think this defense can be the one that wins that moment. So I think the Seahawks get it. 14th win, number one seed, most road wins in history, most team wins in history. I think that all those records fall on Saturday. And we're going to have a lot of fun if it does. We are going to have a lot of fun if it does. All right, folks, that will do it for this episode of Real Hawk Talk. Thank you to Nathan Ernst, Evan Hill, and Jeff Simmons for taking their time on this New Year's Day. Thanks to all you for tuning in. And I'll be back with Mike Sando tomorrow morning. And then Jeff and I will be back for Seahawks Saturday on Saturday. So see you all soon. Until then, take care.